الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا كما أمر، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسل الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا داعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا. أما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters and elders and children, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. It's the great mercy and blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gathers us on this Friday in His house, that we may glorify Him and that we may worship Him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this worship such that He is pleased with it, and to give us and to reward us for this in keeping with His majesty and grace. I thought today that it is a good idea for us to look at the issue of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is important because the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the root of all goodness. It is to inculcate and to create a love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in opposition and against the love of everything else that the Anbiya alayhimu salam was sent. The Anbiya did not come to teach anything other than this. They came to teach people to love Allah. And what is the sign of the love of Allah? To worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any shirk. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself mentioned love for Him. And how much love for Him? To the highest possible extent. Superlative terms. In the Quran as a sign of the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَّدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. Allah said, the people who believe, the believers, are the people who love Allah. How much? أَشَدْ. أَشَدْ is the superlative form of شَدِيد. أَشَدْ is, for example, if somebody is angry, you say, if he is very angry, superlative form, you say, Akhzab. He says, he is extremely angry. There is nothing beyond that. So similarly, Ashaddu Hubbalillah. How much of love for Allah? Extreme love for Allah. Love for Allah more than anything else in the world. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained this in even more detail in another place in Surah Tawbah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned how much love somebody should have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually put the criteria, the measurement, the condition. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He said, say to them, قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وإخوانكم وأزواجكم وعشيرتكم وأموال اقترفتموها وتجارة تخشون كسادها ومساكن ترضونها أحب إليكم من الله ورسوله وجهاد في سبيله فتربصوا حتى يأتي الله بأمره والله لا يهدي القوم الفاسقين. Which means Allah said, say to them that if they love their parents, their children, their brothers and sisters, their wives and husbands, their families, the wealth that they like to accumulate, the trade that they fear a loss in, or the houses that they like to build and they delight in these homes and houses, if they love any of these things more than they love Allah, more than they love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and more than they love jihad fi sabilillah, more than they love struggle in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what happens? Allah said, fatarabbasu hatta yati Allah bi amri. Allah said, tell them to go and wait. Tell them we don't need them. Tell them get out. Go and wait for what? Hatta yati Allah bi amri. Wait for the hukum of Allah. Wait for the amr of Allah. Wait for the punishment and adab of Allah. Are we talking about people committing sins? In a way, yes, but in this ayah, is the word sin mentioned? No. No. Is it haram to love your wife and children? Is it haram to love your parents? Is it haram to love your family? No. The issue is not that it is haram to love. The issue is an issue of comparatives. Which do you love more? It is jais and halal and recommended and very good to love your families, to love your parents, to love your children, to be interested in doing business in a halal manner, to build a house with halal income and feel happy and say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen when you look at the house. Nothing wrong with that. The issue is, which do you love more? You love all this more, or you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more? Or you love His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not just leave it there for us to say, no, I don't love all this, I love Allah more. Khalas, my word for it. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala included jihad in fi sabilihi. He said, you love Allah more? Then show it. You love Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more? Then show it. Show it by struggling in the path of Allah. Show it by making the deen muqaddam and everything else mu'akhkhar. So how do we love Allah? There are three things which must happen for us to develop the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, we'll talk about that today. Forgive me if I exceed the time a little bit. I normally never exceed the time. And today also I will try not to exceed the time. And if I exceed the time in this bayan, then I will recite only one ayat each in the salah. So we'll shorten the salah. But I want to finish this today. And I believe today is a holiday for all of you, yeah? So Alhamdulillah, spend a little bit of time in the house of Allah. There are three things that are important if we want to love Allah. What are those three things? Number one is to count the blessings of Allah. Count the blessings of Allah. Number two is to consciously make shukr for those blessings. Consciously. Not ijma, yeah, Alhamdulillah, khalas. No. Specifically, each and everything. Consciously make shukr for that. And the last one is to ensure that you never use any of those blessings against Allah. Three things. What are the three things? Number one, count the blessings. Number two, make shukr. Number three, never use it against Allah. And we look at each of these, inshallah. So what are the blessings of Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described His blessings. Allah said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ar-Rahman wa'allama al-Qur'an. خلق الإنسان علمه البيان الشمس والقمر بحسبان والنجم والشجر يسجدان والسماء رفعها ووضع الميزان ألا تطغوا في الميزان وأقيموا الوزن بالقسط ولا تخسروا الميزان والأرض وضعها للأنام فيها فاكهة والنخل ذات الأكمام والحب ذو العصف والريحان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, He began the surah with the majesty and glory of His name. Ar-Rahman. Ar-Rahman. The personal name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah began with the glory and majesty of Him. Ar-Rahman. Who is Ar-Rahman? Allama al-Qur'an. And He linked His name to His kalam. Who is Ar-Rahman? The one who gave Hidayah. The one who sent the kalam. Why? Because that is the number one blessing. The number one blessing. The number one blessing is not wealth. It is not health. It is not beauty. It is not strength. It is not aqal. It is nothing. It is Hidayah. Because if we had all the akal in the world, and we have plenty of examples of this, if we are the most intelligent human being in the world, in the worldly sense, if you are the most beautiful human being in the world, if you are the strongest human being in the world, if you are the most glorious and majestic and wealthiest and powerful human being in the world, and you do not have hidayat ila al-Islam, and if you die without Islam, then you go into the hellfire forever and ever. So what is the use of all that wealth and money and beauty and strength and everything? Nothing. Zero. Zero. So number one blessing of Allah is hidayah. And what is the book of hidayah? ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ القرآن الرحمن علم القرآن. The glory and majesty of our Rabb linked directly with the number one blessing that He has sent us, and that is the book of Allah. Subhanallah. That is why it is important to sit and study this book of Allah. It is important to spend some time to do that. Not simply recite the Quran because the tune sounds nice. Not just recite the Quran because we have nothing better to do. Not just recite the Quran for thawab. Subhanallah. Study the Quran. This Quran did not come to give you thawab. The Quran gives thawab anyway. The Quran came for us to live by the message. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ar-Rahman wa allama al-Qur'an, khalaqa al-insan, He created human being and He gave him eloquent speech. The sun and the moon run in fixed orbits. There is no time to go into each of these ayat that requires explanation. Each of these I can, alhamdulillah, explain to you in detail. There is no time for this in Jummah. Inshallah, as and when time permits, we'll do this. But I am doing a talk on either the 6th or the 7th of February, in the International Conference on the Quran, on the cosmology in the Quran. Come and listen to that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, sun and the moon in fixed orbits, the stars and the trees, they made sujood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the heaven He raised high and set up the balance. What is the meaning of balance? Al-Mizan, what is Mizan? One meaning of Mizan is the Mizan on the day of Hashr. But another meaning of Mizan, inshallah al-Musta'an, is the system and order and the Sharia of Islam. Hadha al-Mizan. What is right and what is wrong? How do you know? What is good and what is evil? How do you know? It is the Sharia of Islam. This is the greatest blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, unfortunately, because our upbringing is in the ways of the kuffar, we see the Sharia at best as a burden on our head. Subhanallah, this is one adab, big rock I have to carry on my head. So I cannot look at this and I cannot look at that, and I can't eat this and I can't eat that, and I can't listen to this and I can't listen to that. Even the one who's following it thinks that it's a burden, he's sacrificing for the sake of Allah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. He should fall in sujood and say, Ya Rabb, shukr to you that you sent the Sharia. Shukr to you that you taught us what is right and what is wrong. Shukr to you that you taught us what is tayyib and what is khabith. Otherwise you also would have been worshipping dogs. Because that is what our friends are doing today. They believe the dog will bring prosperity. So they are catching street dogs and they are worshipping the dog. You would have been making sujood to the dog, subhanallah. If the Sharia was not there, is it not something to be grateful for? That this head, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, does not go down before anyone other than the rabbul alameen. This is the waqar of the head. This is the waqar of the insan. This is the waqar of the man and the woman. That his face and his head will not go down before anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not something to thank Allah for. And the one who refuses that honor, the one who refuses that honor, subhanallah, Allah makes sujood even to the dog. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing his. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said He sent the Mizan. The Mizan is the Sharia of Islam. The Mizan is also the balance in which our deeds will be measured. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us Jannah without even the Mizan, without even measuring our deeds. بغير حساب ان شاء الله. Because if subhanAllah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually puts our deeds in the mizan, we are in trouble. We are in trouble. And even for that there is hope, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, that a man will come to Allah. And when they put his deeds in the mizan, there the deeds will be full, the one side of the mizan will be full of only evil. Only evil. So it is like this, one pan is up in the air and the other pan is sitting on the ground and there is nothing but evil. And then the man will be asked, do you have anything to put in the other side? The man will say, Rabbul Alameen, I have nothing. So he will be told, no, you have something. He say, what do I have? I have nothing. They say, no, you have something. Think. The man says, I cannot think, I don't know, I have nothing. So he will be given a piece of paper with something written on this. And he will be said, take this and put it in the other side. So the man will take this piece of paper with something written on it and he will put it on the other side of the pan. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that pan, he said, it will come down with such violence as if a huge weight has been put. It will slam on the ground. The other pan with his documents of evil will fly in the air. And he said, those things of his, the records of evil will fly. Because it will jump like this and it will fly in the air. Subhanallah, the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, what is written on this paper? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Just that. The man had iman in his heart. Now, this is not license for you to go and do all kinds of evil and say, I have iman. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they asked him, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that the one who says the kalima with ikhlas will get Jannah. The Sahaba Rizwanullahi alayhim ajmain, may Allah bless them and fill their qubur with noor. They said, Ya Rasulullah, what is the ikhlas of the kalima? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the ikhlas of the kalima is that it keeps you away from haram. So let us remember this also. This does not mean simply I have the kalima in my heart and I spend all my nights in the pub or in the disco. No. Then there is a serious doubt whether that kalima is actually there in your heart or not. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained His mercy. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in another place, we are in the first point. What is the first point? Count the blessings of Allah. Count the blessings of Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in this first point, another place he listed His blessings. And He said, أَلَمْ نَجْعَلِ الْأَرْضَ مِهَادًا وَالْجِبَالَ أَوْتَادًا وَخَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَجَعَلْنَا نَوْمَكُمْ سُبَاتًا وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا وَجَعَلْنَا النَّهَارَ مَعَاشًا وَبَنَيْنَا فَوْقَكُمْ سَبْعًا شِدَادًا وَجَعَلْنَا سِرَاجًا وَهَّاجًا وَأَنزَلْنَا مِنَ الْمُعْصِرَاتِ مَاءً ثَجَّاجًا لِنُخْرِجَ بِهِ حَبًّا وَنَبَاتًا وَجَنَّاتٍ أَلْفَافًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described all the blessings of this dunya. Allah said, have we not created the earth like a bed? Have we not created the mountains as pegs so that the tectonic plates will not shift? Have we not created you in pairs, male and female? Have we not made your sleep a thing of rest? If we didn't have sleep, subhanAllah, what would we do? And He said, have we not made the night as a covering? Have we not made the day a place where you can go and earn your livelihood? And have we not built you, and we built you above Saban Shidada, seven heavens, each of them so strong? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and have we not made therein a shining lamp, sirajam wa haja, the sun. Again, come to the cosmology talk and you will see what the sun is, subhanAllah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and we have sent the clouds heavy with rain, abundant water. See what happens when there is too much water. Today there are floods in Brazil, there are floods in Australia. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to alleviate the suffering of those people and to help them. Subhanallah, somebody sent me a video yesterday, a flash flood. Cars are going, you know, nice big Toyota Land Cruisers and Mercedes and all that. They are going in that water like little paper boats. Gone. And I don't think your Maybach or your Ferrari Enzo will stand a chance either. It'll also go like a paper boat, yeah?
Somebody, when I was making a speech in South Africa, somebody said, "You are a very peculiar Maulana." I said, "Why?" Because he said, "You know all these things about Ferrari and those and what." So anyway, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we send this rain. Why? He said, because we produce therein corn and vegetation and gardens of thick growth. My brothers and sisters, Allah Himself said that if the seas become ink and the trees become pen, you can still not write the blessings of Allah and you can still not write the ta'rif of Allah. So how am I going to do that? But the point of saying this to you and just drawing your attention to two small parts of the Quran is to start you thinking. Now what I want you to do is very simple. I want you to go home today and do not go to sleep tonight before you do this. I want you to go home today, take a white plain sheet of paper or sit before the computer if that's what you do better and write out. I want you to do this as an exercise. My request, I can't make you do it, I'm requesting you. Write down all the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the things that you have from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which you like. Go stand in front of the mirror and say, "Subhanallah, what a beautiful face Allah created." No? At least you think so. I mean, that's good. And your mom will think so as well. Even if nobody else thinks so. But it's good, Alhamdulillah. You can make shukr for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah? List down. I want you to list down every single thing. Every single thing. List. Make it as long a list as you want. List all of these down. And then we will come to the second part, which is to make shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on each and every one of these things. And you know the way to list down when you think to make shukr? Just imagine what it would have been if that was not there. Just, that's the way to see. There was a time when I had no glasses. And my vision was absolutely 20/20. I could see far into the distance and I could read the paper without absolute any problem. Today when I am sitting and making a bayan or making a talk and there are some sisters on one side, then they are in complete hijab whether they know it or not because I can't see them. When I'm wearing my reading glasses, all I can see is what is written here. Age. Nothing else. And this is the story for every single one of us. When you are in your 20s, the blood is boiling in your veins. Eh? It's racing up and down. But we all slow down. Happens to every single one of us. So stand before Allah and make a list and thank. A man came to Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu and he said, "Ya Amirul Mu'mineen, what do I have to be grateful for?" And this man was very poor and he was in poor health. He said, "You keep saying, make shukr to Allah, be grateful to Allah." He said, "What have I got to be grateful for? What do I have?" Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said, "Can you urinate without pain?" The man said, "Yes." He said, "Thank Allah for that." SubhanAllah, as the person who has urinary tract infection, UTI. Ask the person who has UTI what it means to urinate without pain. So imagine your life without those blessings. Health and wealth and akal. For number one on that list is what? Iman. Then after that, health and akal and strength and beauty and knowledge and a good family, a wife who respects you, a husband who cares for you, children who respect you, parents who care for you, SubhanAllah, parents who make dua for you. What is the value of the dua of your father or your mother? Tell me. Put a dollar value on that. Today we live in a world with dollar values, net worth. On your balance sheet, put my father's dua, my mother's dua. And on the other side, put something else. Let me see how many zeros you will put on that. SubhanAllah. The day it goes is when you realize that's a law. That's a bad place to realize. You must realize it before it goes. The key to the love of Allah is shukr. And what is this? What is the proof of that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Ibrahim, وَإِذْ تَعَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَعَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَئِن كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ.
Allah said, and your Rabb has announced that when the man is grateful to me, when he makes shukr, Allah will increase the bounties. لَأَزِدَنَّكُمْ
لَامْ تَعْتِيدْ. There's a taqid of lam there. There's verily, truly, certainly he will do that.
وَلَئِن كَفَرْتُمْ, and the one who denies, إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ, let him be warned
that my azab, my punishment is very severe.
لَشَدِيدٌ, once again taqid. So to make shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to be conscious of what the bounties are. So count the blessings and make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know from the hadith that he used to worship in the night in tahajjud, long rakat.
The tahajjud, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would start shortly after Isha. After a little bit of rest he would stand, and then he would stand almost till Fajr.
So sometimes his blessed feet would get swollen with the standing.
So Aisha radiallahu anha asked him one day, she said, Ya Rasulullah, why do you cry so much and why do you stand in salah so much and your feet are swollen and so on? You know, why, take it easy. I mean, you know, subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven you all your sins. The ones before and the ones after. Allah has made you masoom. Why must you do this? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say? He said, should I not be a grateful slave? He said, if Allah has forgiven everything for me, should I not be grateful to Allah?
Ajeeb.
Where is the thinking of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And where is our thinking today? Shukr.
Apart from all of this, apart from Iman and apart from all the worldly wealth and this and that and the other, there is something that is even more important to be thankful to Allah for. And you know what that is? That is the potential and possibility to make tawbah. Imagine what would have happened if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had not given us this opportunity for tawbah. What would have happened?
Whatever you have done is done, finished.
But what did Allah say?
Ajeeb, see the mercy of our Rabb.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Zumar, say to them, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِي, O my slaves.
See, the again, learning Arabic is very important because the grammar of the Quran is what touches the heart.
Allah could have said, Ya Ibadullah. Allah could have said, Ya Ayyuhan Nas.
Allah said, Ya Ibadi. Oh, my slaves. My slaves.
And what kind of slaves?
Allah said, what kind of slaves?
Allazina asrafu ala anfusi. Those who have transgressed against themselves. Let us understand this. Let us understand this. When we commit a sin, who are we harming?
I mentioned this in the last Jummah also.
Who are we harming?
If I get drunk and I'm lying in a gutter somewhere, who is being harmed?
Me or Allah?
When we make israf, who are we harming?
Ourselves.
Ourselves.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them, O my slaves who have transgressed against themselves,
La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Do not despair of the mercy of Allah.
To despair of the mercy of Allah is kufr.
It's kufr.
If somebody says Allah will never forgive me, that is kufr. You should never make those statements. Subhanallah.
If you make tawbah, there is nothing that Allah will not forgive. And what is the proof of this?
Because what is the biggest sin? the one that has the biggest punishment. What is the biggest punishment? In the hellfire forever. And what is that hellfire forever? That is for which sin? Shirk. But what about the mushrik? Somebody who has been worshipping stones and trees and dogs and cats and cows and God knows what for all his life. And then that person, 1 hour before he dies, or 5 minutes before he dies, or 1 minute before he dies, he says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. He enters, accepts Islam, and then he dies. What is our aqidah? What does Islam say about that person? Is he in the hellfire or in Jannah? He is in Jannah. That is the power of Tawbah. So first thing I want you to do today is to make a list of things that Allah has given you and make shukr. Second thing I want you to do, and I am doing it myself right now, do it right now, is to make Tawbah. Right now make Tawbah and say, oh Allah, forgive whatever I have done. Yes? Make Tawbah. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. Immediately make Tawbah. Everything, whatever you have done, Ya Allah, please forgive. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said He will forgive. And He said, do not despair of my mercy. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Whatever you have done, if you ask forgiveness, Allah will forgive. Khalas. And then, as if this is not enough, tell me this one ayat, is it not enough for us? Allah said, make Tawbah, He will forgive you. Khalas. So I did all this evil, and I make Tawbah, Allah forgave me. Isn't that enough? Blank sheet, you get a clean paper, you get a clean sheet. You had this whole book full of rubbish. Now all that has been cleaned, everything delete, control alt del gone. Disk formatted, now you got a clean disk. Yeah? But this is our thinking. Who is Allah? Who is Allah? Ta'ala Allahul Amthal. Who is Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
إلا من تاب وآمن وعمل عملا صالحا فأولئك يبدل الله سيئاتهم حسنات وكان الله غفورا رحيما.
Allah says, not only will I forgive, not only will I format that disk, not only will I clean that slate, but I will now substitute all the evil for good deeds. When Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, when he heard this ayat, he went around, he said, I am the best of you. So the Sahaba said, this is, you know, how can you make this statement? I mean, everyone is trying to be good and so on. Now you come and make this statement, I am the best. How can you make this statement? He said, you didn't see what Allah said? He said, Allah said, I will change all your evil for good deeds. He said, I was the worst of you. He said, nobody committed as much evil as I committed. So now, alhamdulillah, everything has become good. So I now have a lot of good. Once again, this is not license for you now, from now on, to go and commit evil and collect a lot of evil, and after that you go and make tawbah. No. Because we have no guarantee on life. No guarantee of life. You don't know, 5 minutes later you are dropped dead. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you will be resurrected in the state in which you died. So if you are jiving on the floor to the tune of some DJ, some DJ fellow who is running those thing controls, and you are jiving on the floor and you drop dead, subhanAllah, you don't want to be resurrected like that, believe me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and blessing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, He will change. So make a list, make shukr. In that list, make special shukur for the benefit of Tawbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this whole issue of shukur, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us and tells us how human beings tend to be ungrateful. We tend to be ungrateful. We tend to take the blessings for granted as if it is our birthright. And we are not grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning this, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that this is what human beings do, which means that we should try to avoid doing such things. Now again, many ayat, many places where Allah has mentioned this, but one of the places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this ذلك عالم الغيب والشهادة العزيز الرحيم الذي أحسن كل شيء خلقه وبدأ خلق الإنسان من طين ثم جعل نسله من سلالة من ماء مهين ثم سواه ونفق فيه من روحه وجعل لكم السمع والأبصار والأفئدة قليلا ما تشكرون. Allah says, and He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the knower of the unseen and the seen, almighty and most merciful, who made everything He created good. الَّذِي أَحْسَنَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَ. Ahsan, best. This is a problem with translation. They translate Ahsan as good. They translate Hasan also as good. They translate Tayyab also as good. Allah did not say. Allah said Ahsana kulla shayin khalaqa. Best. And then Allah said what? And He began the creation of man from clay. Allah made the prototype of Adam alayhi salam. You know, of course, that Adam alayhi salam was never a baby. He never grew up. Adam alayhi salam was a grown man. The minute he breathed life, he was a full grown man. Because that was a prototype. And then Allah said, and then after creating the prototype, what do? You set the manufacturing process. Allah is not sitting up there with clay, making each person quickly, no, passes on. Some more clay. No. The prototype. Once the prototype is done, then the process. What is the manufacturing process? What we know today as genetics, human genetics. Sulalatim min ma'in mahin. The mixing of the two waters. And then Allah said, Thumma sawwahu wa nafaqa fihi min ruhi wa ja'ala lakum as-sam'a wal absara wal afida. And Allah gave life. SubhanAllah, the first time I washed a dead body, this was in America. The very first time I washed the body, and this man, he was 62. He was in prime physical condition. He was a nuclear medical doctor, doctor of nuclear medicine, and he dropped dead on a tennis court. He was playing tennis. He was fit enough to play tennis. And he was in the middle of a match, he dropped dead. And that's a long story. I won't tell the story now, but when the impression in my mind is alive till today. When I was washing this body, I had this uncanny kind of feeling that this man is actually alive. I asked myself, what is the difference between this man and me? How come that he is lying there and I am washing him? No difference. The body is feeling warm. It is soft. Rigor mortis has not set in. His eyes look like eyes, his ears look like ears, his nose looks like a nose, his hands, feet, everything. Absolutely, he's like a man asleep. Until today, and that's the reason why one must take ibrat from the experiences of one's life. Till today, the thought in my mind is that there's no difference. What is the difference between that man and me? What is it that this ruh which Allah has given? And he said, yes, alunaka anil ruh. قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَمَا أُوتِيتُمْ مِنْ عِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. They ask you about the ruh, tell them it is the amr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have given you a little bit of our knowledge. That is what keeps us going. And Allah describes this process, سَمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْعَفِدَ, the hearing and the sight and the understanding. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this process in the actual order in which it is formed. Today we know this from genetics. In the order. And then Allah said, قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. But they are not grateful. Little it is that they are grateful for. So to make shukr of Allah. And the last point. Three ways or three stages or steps to love Allah. What is the first one? Count the blessings. What is the second one? Make shukr. And third one is never use it against Allah. Never use what Allah has given you against Him.
because you got it from him. And Swanla, just think about this. Every single thing of value we got without asking. I want you to think about this. Every single thing of value we got without asking and we got without paying. If you don't accept what I'm saying, then I'm asking you this question. My question is, did you make dua for iman? Or did you pay for iman? Did you make dua for your eyesight? How much did you pay for your eyesight? Did you make dua for strength that you should not have a paralytic stroke? How much did you pay for that? Did you make dua for your hearing to hear properly? Did you make dua for hearing? How much did you pay for good hearing? Did you make dua for your understanding and your intelligence and knowledge? How much did you pay for that? And if it goes, how much money do you think it costs to get it back? You know what all these great corporate hospitals and medical tourism, the word is. You know what medical tourism runs on? It runs on the fact that you can't get it back. And it runs on the fact that you have hope that you can get it back if you spend enough money. And an entire industry runs on that basis. It runs on the basis you can't get it back. You don't believe me? Go to the hospital. They're right down the road here. Go to the hospitals. Ask how many blind people can see. Ask how many people have got diabetes. Diabetes is gone. Finished. Khalas. Ask, go to the cancer hospital. Ask how many people have complete reversion. Complete remission of cancer. Cancer gone. Khalas. If it happens once in a million, it becomes big news. Why is it big news? Because it happens once in a million. What about the others? Doesn't go. Eyesight gets dim. Can it come back 20/20? No. Hearing goes. Can it come back? No. Now, point is this. All of this we got without asking. And all of this we got free, without paying. Now tell me, is it, what do you say about somebody who gets something from someone without asking and who gets it free, and that person then not only misuses it but uses it against that person? What do you call that person? You call him names which I cannot unfortunately say because of where I am standing here giving khutbah. But you ask me the names outside when I am in the parking lot, I'll tell you the names. What do you call that person? Subhanallah. Ajeeb, eh? So I say to you, that third thing to love Allah is what? You know what? If you want to use your eyesight to look at haram, get eyesight from somebody other than Allah first. And then please go and use that, no problem. But the eyesight Allah gave you, if you use it for haram, then you are a traitor against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your hearing, the hearing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you, if you want to use this hearing to listen to which stuff which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made haram, go find hearing from somewhere else first. Then go use that. Because if you use the hearing which Allah gave you to listen to what is haram, then you are a traitor against Allah. Your hands and feet and strength and all those nice muscles that you build up. You see the boys nowadays, they look nice. And they wear clothes where they look like they be melted and poured into the t-shirt. Because there's no other way of him getting into the t-shirt. Subhanallah, this hijab is for men and women. Just because you got a nice body and you got nice muscles doesn't mean you show it around, boss. Cover it. You come and make salah. I mean, the fellow's guy making salah next to you, his salah becomes a problem. Because when he goes in ruku, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. The only thing is, when somebody like that next to you, you go in ruku first. And you go hit the ground first in the sajda. I mean, if you stay up while he is gone in sajda, your salah is gone. Khalas. Subhanallah, please. Have mercy on yourself. Wear proper clothes. We like to tell the sisters. It applies to them also. But it also applies to you guys. Where did you get this impression that for the men there is no dress code? You can do wear what you want, or, you know, not wear anything if you don't want to. I mean, la hawla wala quwwata illa billah. All that is all for Salman Khan and Shah Rukh Khan, and not for you, eh? All the Bollywood Khans. Obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because everything we have is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we use
the faculties and the strengths and the power that Allah has given us against Him, then remember that Allah has the power to take it away. Remember, when you look at haram, that Allah has the power to strike you blind at that instant. When you're listening to music which Allah has made haram, remember that Allah has the power to make you deaf from that instant. When you walk and go towards that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made haram, remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power to paralyze you so that you fall on the ground on the street and you will not be able to enter that disco or pub or club that you wanted to go to. It is only the mercy of Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves the door of tawbah open and Allah says, no, let him go. He will come back and make tawbah, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Allah is not waiting for you, guessing to see what happens. Allah knows. But Allah gives this opportunity. My brothers and sisters, it is only akal, it is only intelligence to take advantage of this opportunity and say to Allah, Ya Allah, I make this niyyah from now. And I want all of you to say this, Ya Allah, I make this niyyah from now, that I will never ever disobey you in anything in this world until the day I die, no matter who else is pleased or displeased. The only one whose pleasure and displeasure I am concerned about is you. So Ya Rabbi, I will not disobey you from today until the day I die. And Ya Rabbi, you be my kafil and you be my advocate and you be my owner on the day of judgment and deliver me from the hellfire. Are you making this dua now? Please make this dua. Make this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give us opportunities again and again and again. No. Make this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and take advantage of the fact that Allah has given us this opportunity, that we are able to have a reminder that we can make this dua and live our life. Because my brothers and sisters, last point before I close, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned those people who like to take this Islam, this deen selectively. They take some and they leave some. They take what they like and they leave what they don't like. They like to go to the club and the disco, they go there and then they come, no, my brother, I'm also making salah. You go and commit haram and then you come and stand before Allah and you make salah. Now I'm not saying stop salah also. No. You make salah, but you think of what you are doing. You're standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're saying, Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ya Allah, I obey only you and I worship only you and I ask help only from you. Then you go to some dargah or you go to some qabr and you make sujood on the qubur or you make some tawaf of the qabr. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. This is Islam. So what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about those people who do this? Take the deen selectively. What did Allah say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْدِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْدِ فَمَا جَزَاءُ ذَلِكَ Will you be like those who take something of the book and they deny the rest? They take that from Islam which suits them and they will leave out the rest. Allah says, and if you are like that, what will happen to you? What is the jaza for such people? What is the reward for such people? Allah says, khizyun fil hayati dunya. You will have a life in this world which will be hard and harsh. And then what will happen to you on the day of judgment? وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ أَشَدِّ الْعَذَابِ. You will be turned towards severe punishment. Again, ashad, worst punishment on the day of judgment. Why? Because you picked and chose, you took from the deen of Allah what suited you. This is the highest form of disrespect. What is matlub in Islam? What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about Islam? يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ودخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. How much Islam? How much to enter Islam? Completely, fully. Yaivalladhin amanu. People who already have iman, think about this. Again, Juma, I cannot make tafsir of ayat. No time for that. But think about this. The ayat is coming to whom? Allah is not saying, Yaival kafiru unutkulu fi silmi kafa. Grammatically, ayat would be correct. Oh, you disbelieve, enter into Islam. What is wrong with that? Grammar fine, no problem. But Allah is not saying that. Allah, Yaivalladhin amanu. Oh, you who believe, enter into Islam fully. What does it mean? It means that it is possible to believe, yet not enter Islam fully. Take something and leave something. Allah says, don't do this. وَلَا تَتَّبِيُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Do not follow the footsteps of shaitan, because the shaitan is your worst enemy. إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. My brothers and sisters, the last one. The bashara that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to those people who obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala no matter who says what. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Man amila salihan min dhakarin aw untha wa huwa mu'minun falanuhyiyannahu hayatan tayyibatan walanajziyannahum ajrahum bi ahsani ma kanu ya'malun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Nahl, whoever does good deeds, and whether they are men or women, male or female, while they are believers, two conditions. First condition, must have iman. Second condition, must do good deeds. Whoever does this, what will happen to them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily to that person, we will give a good life in this world. Nuhiyannahum hayatan tayyib. Islam is about leading a beautiful life in this world and Jannah in the hereafter, inshallah. Islam does not say your life in this world will be hell and only Jannah is there after you die. No. If you live according to Islam, according to the Sharia, your life in this world will be beautiful. A life of honor, of respect, of clean. A clean life, a life of peace of mind. And then what happens in the Akhirah? Jannah, inshallah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying this. He said, we will give you, and we will give you a beautiful life in this world, and we shall pay them certainly a reward in proportion to the best of what they used to do. The Mufassirin have said this means that if there was one deed in your whole life which was the best, say for example you make a hajj, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all those who are here hajj al-mabrur, inshallah. If you have not made hajj till now and you are liable for it, make niyyah to go in this coming year. Make the niyyah and go. Because do not die without making hajj when hajj was farz on you. Rasulullah said, the one who does that will be resurrected with the Jews and the Christians. So make hajj. So say for example you made hajj and this hajj Allah has accepted. Now what is the reward for an accepted hajj? Freedom from all sins. Rasulullah said, the person will come out of the hajj as if he was born on that day. What does Allah say in this ayah? Allah said, Allah will reward you for all your good deeds in proportion to the best you used to do. So one deed will be taken, this is the best. Okay, for everything give him this. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Imagine, we make salah. That salah is, Amari Urdu mein langdi, luli, kaisi, kaisi, kaisi. The leg doesn't work and the hand doesn't work and the ear doesn't work of the poor salah. Because in the salah you stand there and you're taking account of all your shops and businesses. The man stood behind the imam prayed 3 rakat and the man, he thought he prayed 4. So when he made salam, the man said, Ya Shaykh, you prayed only 3. You did not pray 4. The imam said, how do you know? He said, because I have 4 shops. Every rakat I make hisab of 1 shop. Now I only completed 3 shops. My 4th shop hisab not completed. So that means you prayed only 3 rakat. Huh? Subhanallah, please. Have mercy on yourself. Make the salah. The salah is the most beautiful thing of this deen. The most beautiful thing of this deen is to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And pray how? أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you can see. فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَى فَإِنَّهُ يَرَى. And though you cannot see him, know that he sees you. This is salah. That was the salah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let us make a niyyah, that we make tawbah right now, that we will go home and make a list of all our ni'mat, and we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for each and every one of them. And then we make this niyyah right now, that from today onwards till the day we die, we will never go against the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or against the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, if we do this, then we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His great mercy and blessing to forgive us as He promised, and to convert all our evil deeds into good deeds as He promised, and to give us Jannah as He promised. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala la tukhliful mi'ad, Allah does not go against His promises. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant nastaghfiruka allahumma wa natubu ilayk.